This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello there, this is Paul O'Higgins with today's Great Invitation. The Great Invitation is God's invitation to each one of us. It goes from the heart of God to every single human being potentially, inviting us to be reconciled to Him and to discover His grace, care, plans and purposes. In today's Great Invitation, I'd like to focus on your destiny, the destiny that God had in mind for you before He even formed you in the mother's womb. You are a person of destiny. Now, we won't find our destiny in the education systems of the world. Our education system can train us for our secular occupations. But through our education system, both in the schools and the colleges and universities, you won't discover your destiny. To discover your destiny, you will come to the one who made you, to God Himself. And in the Bible, which is the book of destiny, you'll discover what it is to be a human being and the destiny that God had in mind for you before the foundation of the world. These are things not taught in the secular world, not taught to us in the through the entertainment system or through the consumeristic society of today. We have to come to the Lord, and that's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added. It's in the Bible. It's in the Word of God. We discover God's plan, God's purposes, what it is to be a human being, what is the destiny of a human being, what's the purpose of a human being, and how we are to walk in the original plans and purposes that God had for us. So, this takes time. It takes an investment. Seek first the kingdom of God. Let that be our first priority in life. Because God didn't only created us to be forgiven and to have our sins cancelled and to know we're going to heaven. He also created us for a plan and a purpose and a destiny He had created for us. Often, by just focusing on the forgiveness of sins, we miss the bigger picture of God's destiny for you and for me. In Psalm 40, verse 7, also quoted in the book of Hebrews, Psalm 40 was quoted. In Psalm 40, it's a prophetic psalm. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. See, God's destined us. In the scroll of the book it is written. God has written a scroll, a book about each one of our lives before we were even born. And in that scroll is that destiny and assignment that God has for us. Now, we have to turn to Him and we say, Lord, I am yours, and make ourselves available for His plans and purposes. Today, throughout the body of Christ, there is a lot of prayer and a lot of talk about revival. And I support that. Of course, we look for revival. But revival will never happen until we present ourselves to God to fulfill, for Him to fulfill in us, the plans and the purposes He had for us when He envisioned us and planned us before the foundation of the world. And when we accept His invitation to us to enter into the destiny He has for us. And when we say to Him, Heavenly Father, my first priority is to obey You and to do Your will. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do Your will. Behold, I come to do Your will, O God. In fact, Nuala and I, my wife Nuala and I, often at the beginning of the day, will begin the day by saying, Heavenly Father, thank You for the gift of life. Behold, I come to do Your will. I recommend that one to you. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. God says, to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. before you were born, I sanctified you. I had a special plan, a special purpose for you in mind when I created you. Case of for every single one of us. Now, in the eyes of the world, we may not be very important. Maybe the world couldn't care whether we existed or didn't exist. We're one of 8 billion people on the planet. That doesn't make you feel very important. But God says, before I formed you in the your mother's womb, I knew you. In the eyes of God, you're extremely valuable. And he wants you to discover his plans and purposes for you. It's only in the Bible that we discover this destiny. Indeed, we can say the Bible is a book of destiny. And today I want to present you God's invitation to discover and to enter into your destiny. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 4 to 6, and above any other book in the Bible, the book of Ephesians is a book of destiny. Ephesians 1:4, he writes, he chose us in him, that's in Christ, before the foundation of the world, even before the planets and galaxies existed, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestined us, that's destiny, having destined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. We were destined to be brought back from the mess of the fallenness of humanity, from the confusion of this world order. We were destined to be restored to the high favor of God, to know his love, to experience his care, to walk in his presence, and to be his sons and daughters. What Jesus was by nature before the foundation of the world, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. Before all eternity, Jesus was the Son of God. And in his love, he extends that sonship to us through adoption, that we'll enter a new destiny, the destiny that God always had for us, to live as his sons and daughters, to be his companions, friends, to be the object of his love. As he goes on in Ephesians to say, he writes that we know the exceeding greatness of his kindness towards us, to be the objects of his love and kindness. Wow, we were made for love. We were made to soak up the love of God. In fact, in John's Gospel chapter 15, Jesus says, I prepare a place for you, in John chapter 14. And then he says we're to abide, live, and make our home in his love. That's the dimension to which we're restored through the cross of Jesus. Once our sins are forgiven, we're restored into the dimension of the glory of God, this dimension of the love of God, the providence of God, the care of God, where we swim and we live and move and have our being in that new dimension when we come to him through the cross and come home to the love and the care of Heavenly Father, and also come home to his destiny he has for us, to live in that realm and then to live from that realm as agents of his love and mercy. That's your calling. Paul writes, consider your calling. Not many were wise, not many were of noble birth, but God chose the weak things of this world to confound the strong. He restores us, and then he gives us assignments. He writes that he's made us for good works. He has different assignments for each one of us to do. It doesn't really matter how big or small those assignments are in the eyes of the world or in the eyes of the church. It's that we are faithful to carry out those assignments, to live as loving husbands, if we're husbands, to live as loving wives, if we're wives, to live as loving parents, if we're parents, to live as great employees, if we're employees, to live as kindly and fair employers, if we're employers, to live as members of the body of Christ who supply the need of the body of Christ. That's our assignment. But our, above all, the great destiny is to be companions of God, to know his love experientially and for ourselves. Having stated this, our destiny, in the book of Ephesians, Paul then prays that we go beyond being taught about destiny. He prays that we would know this destiny for ourselves, that we would know the greatness of his power at work towards us, and that we'd know the hope of his calling. His prayer for us today would be the same. And my prayer for you is that each one of us will know more fully the hope of God's great calling on our lives. to be his companions, to walk with him through this life, him walking with us and we walking with him, and to live with him in the realm of his love throughout all eternity, and then to live on the earth and for all time as agents of love and mercy, kindness, generosity, hope and good cheer. That's your destiny, which we're embracing. So the gospel is much more than the message of forgiveness of sins. It's the discovery of our true destiny as sons and daughters of God, and then learning how to draw on the life of the Spirit to walk out this amazing destiny. As we discover the dimensions of our destiny, the Holy Spirit will lead us, as Jesus said, into all truth. We'll discover more and more and more of the love of God. We'll enter into the realms of the infinite love of God. And that's why Paul makes a second prayer in Ephesians, that we will know the height and depth and length and breadth of God's love. That's our destiny, that we will discover these things. Many, many people think that their destiny is just to get a job, get ahead, get wealthy, get entertained, and that's what the world tells us. But God has a much fuller destiny for all of us than just our mere job, our mere secular employment, our mere financial provision. He destined us to walk with him, to be his friends, and to show forth his character and nature to the world around us. As we, as the body of Christ, begin to intentionally embrace this destiny and discover it and lay hold of it, the glory of the Lord will envelop us and we will have the promised revival. But if we neglect such a great salvation, if we neglect this destiny, we'll never really fully enter into it and we'll have regret. Ephesians also writes in Ephesians 1:11, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purposes of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we first trusted in Christ should live to the praise of his glory, that our lives will be just exhibitions and lived in just appreciating the glory and the goodness of God, receiving it and manifesting it. That's our destiny. And God is inviting the body of Christ to come up into higher ground and to learn to walk as sons and daughters of God, not merely as forgiven sinners, but those who are filled by adoption as a gift, God's own divine nature, and to live that out all the days of our lives. This destiny was ours before the foundation of the world. In other words, this is what God had planned for us before we were even born. This is God's plan. And this is what we embrace. This is why we say, Lord, I'm embracing your destiny. I want to lay hold of what's written for me in the scroll of the book, to live as your adopted son and daughter. It's so exciting to discover our true destiny. The world robs us. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, or destroy, and destroy. If we just go by the values of the secular world order, we'll miss it. We have to delve deep into the heart of God. We've got to get to know him. We've got to cultivate this relationship as the most foundational thing in our lives. That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, the rule of God, the presence of God, the love of God, the face of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added. Once we make this our priority and then center the rest of our relationships and activities around his great calling and around his great destiny for us, everything will fall into its true shape and place. Now let's seal this with a prayer. There is the great invitation. Now let's make the response. Heavenly Father, I'm responding to your invitation to discover my destiny as a son of God and to live as your adopted son or daughter. I want to live in your love. I want to walk by your ways. I want to discover your plans, and I want to give myself for the plans and purposes to which you've called me. I renounce my selfish ways and I embrace your beautiful plans. I return to the glory to live there, to receive your love and to pass it on to others. The Great Invitation is produced by Reconciliation Outreach and made possible by the partnership of listeners like you. To contact us, go to our website, www.reconciliationoutreach.net, and click on the contact button there, or simply write to us, Paul and Nulo Higgins, P.O. Box 2778, Stuart, Florida 34995.
A slip in your bathtub or shower can be disastrous. I'm Al Cadullo, the bathroom grab bar specialist, and I install grab bars to meet your specific needs and to give you peace of mind. I can be reached at 772-370-9242 or visit bathroomgrabbarspecialist.com.
Perfect for business or pleasure, Pirates Cove Resort offers a peaceful getaway, giving you old Florida charm in a gorgeous contemporary setting. Elegant and comfortable, Pirates Cove Resort satisfies your yearning for a place away from demanding schedules. Family owned and operated, the staff of Pirates Cove Resort will joyfully provide for your needs while you relax and enjoy all of our amenities. For more information, we can be reached at 772-287-2500 or on our website, Pirates Cove Resort.
This is Keith Masters sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. When God first showed himself to me, it was after a bar hop and getting friendly with the female bartender, who unbeknownst to me, turns out to be a devil worshiper. Because of that, I always thought God wanted him or was going to bring the hammer down on me. Psalm 91 in the Bible, which is the written word of God, lets me know that he doesn't or isn't going to do that to a child of his. Here's what God says in Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Psalm 91. A relationship with God is unlike any other. Jesus tells you, "You are my friend if you do what I command you." That's in Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 14. After finally letting go of my stubbornness, I can say, "I am a friend of Jesus." This is Keith Masters, a street witness, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ.
This is Brian Longworth, host of A Faster PC Radio, inviting you to join me every Saturday from 10 to 11. We'll start with a short sermon from our church where I'm a pastor, and then we'll answer your computer questions for free. We also stream the show to our Facebook page and can show you the steps that we go through to resolve computer problems. Just tune in to 89.9 on your FM dial and give us a call.
The Faster PC
Radio. We'll answer your questions.
Say to those
there will be an abundance of flowers and singing. And joys. Yes, there will be an abundance of flowers and singing. And joys.
For counting, and the hills too steep to climb. When the world outside ain't making sense, and the truth's too lost to find. When that line's too blurred for seeing, and my wrong's too wrong to right. When I'm hanging by that final thread, and my strong's too weak to fight. I hear a song, sweet song, singing to my soul. See a lighthouse in a hurricane, and it's leading me back home. But when I think about the only things in life that pull me through, I hit my knees and thank the Lord for Jesus and you. Oh yes, I do. Every day I do. One is saving me to heaven when I leave this world behind. And one gives me just a little taste when she holds me late at night. They both give grace and it's amazing. They both have healing in their hands. And it ain't easy, but they're both making me a better man. And I hear a song, sweet song, singing to my soul. See a lighthouse in a hurricane, and it's leading me back home. And when I think about the only things in life that pull me through, I hit my knees and thank the Lord for Jesus and you. Every day I do. Yeah. Every day I do. Yeah. Got a ring around your finger, why he's got scars on his hands, why you both promised me forever, God, I'll never understand. But when I think about the only things in life that pull me through, I hit my knees and thank the Lord for Jesus and you. I hit my knees and thank the Lord for Jesus. Jesus in you. And every day I do, every day I do, yeah. When I think about the only things in life that pull me through, I hit
praise and thank the Lord for Jesus in you.